Get to the message. If you don't have your Bible, all the scriptures that we'll be getting touched on here this morning will be on the screens. The book of John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. And the Bible reads, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side, Lord, that the message stays simple, for the understanding can be there this day, Lord. That we can take it into our life and take it back home with us this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Once again, the title of the message is The Home. I want to read once again the book of John, chapter 19, 25 through 27. As we all follow along, I want you to get this few verses in your spirit, amen? Because the message pretty much is going to be off these two verses right here. So I'm going to read it again for a better retention, amen? Near the cross of Jesus, this is the time Jesus is on the cross, he's dying. And near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Amen. From that time on, this disciple, being John, took her being the mother of Jesus, into his home. I open up with a question here this morning. How many know that the home ain't what it used to be? The home ain't what it used to be. I remember growing up in South Texas with a family of seven. My dad being the principal of the high school, my mom a counselor of the junior high. And we lived in the country a good 10 minute drive, you know, to the high school, to the junior high, and to the elementary. We were all in different, you know, grades. And I remember having breakfast at the we had a long countertop with all these chairs. There were seven in our family. And I remember every morning my mom getting up super early and cooking us a full-blown breakfast. With mom and dad included, that was nine people at the table, amen? And I also remember year after year from being a little kid, from kindergarten all the way up, that at lunchtime, mom, only having so much time to work with, would go and pick some up at the elementary school, pick a few up at the junior high, pick a few up at the high school, and then we would race all the way back home, and she would make everybody, we would have lunch together. Now, how common is that today? And then we would get home. My mom and dad, after having a long day at work, would get home. And then my mom again would be in the kitchen making 1,000 tortillas, a couple of pitchers of Kool-Aid. And it was either rice and beans and chicken or potatoes. But rice and beans and tortillas was there every day. Every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner we would share together. Amen. How rare is that this day? Amen. You're lucky to have breakfast together. You're lucky to have lunch together. Once a year. The family just ain't what it used to be. The family just ain't what it used to be. I was speaking with a few of the young guys, gave them a little instructions this morning, and I'm not a Facebook kind of guy, amen? But through dogs and all that, the breeders nowadays they're not even doing things the old-fashioned way, that they're all on Facebook and PM me and all that. I had to learn the lingual. So it was only about 6 months ago, and I told the two individuals I was talking to, I said, is it me? But 6 months ago, I could flash through Facebook real quick, and there was some dirt in there. There was, skip that. But I don't know if it's just me, but 6 months later, it's like skip. It's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's getting bad. I mean, the enemy's having, his way with Facebook right now. I used to come against it because everybody would be Facebooking during the service and on Facebook during the service, and I used to come against it that way. But it was only about 6 months ago where I would start exploring into Facebook and going through Facebook, and how just to see within a short period of time, 6 months later, Facebook's got some awful stuff on it now. That's funny. The individuals I was talking to today, I said, if I was your age, I would find Facebook very, very entertaining. If I was your age, out of Jesus, I would find Facebook very entertaining, where I just had to see it all the time, all day long. It's not a good place to visit. You may say, well, I use it for the glory and honor of Jesus, but do you still scroll through all that stuff that's on there? The home ain't what it used to be. It simply just ain't what it used to be. I always say that our homes is really who the church is. What takes place in our home is really who the church is. A lot of times we feel we can be somebody at our house, in the privacy of our house, and then we can be somebody else when we get to church. But who you are at home is who we really are here in the church this morning. I put here, we need to get back where, once again, the home is appreciated. Where the home is important. Where the family setting is important. And I put here, it's going to take doing it God's way through His love. Doing it God's way through His love. Here within this opening scriptures on John chapter 19, 25 through 27. It was one of the few times Jesus spoke while He was hanging on the cross. He spoke just a few times. There's a few phrases that He used while He was dying on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And here within the cross, it had to be important to Jesus where His mother ended up. And basically, He told His mother that she was to live with John at his home. That's what verse 27 says. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Speaking about the love of the home this morning, the importance of the home. Here within his last words, he saw the importance of his mother not only needing a home, but being in the right home. Being in the right home. Being in the right home. I put here with simple notes, I really believe that it's still in the heart of Jesus that we live in the right home based on his standards, his ways, and instructions on how the home should be ran. I really, truly believe that it's still in the heart of Jesus that if it was important that his mother would end up at the right home, that it's surely important that his sons and daughters, you and I, end up in the right home. What does the right home represent? Doing it his way. Doing it his way. An environment where anything and everything can take place in Jesus. Not an environment where anything and everything can jump off with gunfire, drug use. But an environment where Jesus is able to do anything and everything he desires to do in your life, in your children's life. What's the spiritual condition of your home? I thank the Lord that I'm a pastor and I pray at my house. I have a place that I pray and I spend the majority of my life in one room in one chair. I thank the Lord, that's my job. It's my job. But there was a time when I had a job and I would have to find time to pray. I would have to find time to put Jesus first within my life in order for him to continue to grow my life and to mature my walk in him. Too many times I put here we can come up with excuses in hard times why our home ain't right. We can come up with excuses. We're going through this, we're going through that, and some things may be legit. And why our home ain't right. Here Jesus was dying on the cross, taking on the sins of the world, taking on your sins, my sins. That's a lot of sins if he was just to take our sins that are here this morning. That's a lot of sin. But the sins of the world, here was Jesus on the cross taking on the sins of the world. Here was Jesus going through it. He was taking on a separation between him and his father. It was as if his father had turned his back on him. He would say some of the few words he would use, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Another few words that he would say on the cross was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Here Jesus dying on the cross was taking on the sins of the world, taking on a separation from his Father that he was one with all the pressure taking place. Still, he made sure that his mother would have the right home. See, we need to know this morning, the Bible says that we will have tribulation. Amen? We're going to face tribulation. We're going to face hard times. And we're still going to have to be focused on our homes and what takes place in our homes. There's going to be hard times, but it ain't an excuse for our homes not to be operating as Christ would want our homes to be operating. Here Jesus, with his few last words, had a concern for the home of his mother. And I believe a lot of times we can get caught up and we forget about our home, the place where we spend a lot of time in, a place where we sleep, a place as parents where we're examples before our children. In the pressure of the everyday going to work and back hustle, we can forget the emphasis that we should be putting on the home. But here Jesus, under all the pressure of the sins of the world, a separation from his Father, still had a concern for not just any home, but the right home for his mother. I slid in some notes this morning before coming up here. I said that we had success 13 years ago on 15th place coming to this city. 13 years ago, would move in to an alley there in 15th place, a very notorious alley at that time in 2003. I mean, the SWAT teams were in that alley every day. Every other house was a different gang. Dope, big dope, AKs and everything in the middle of the day were being put in people's trunks and stuff. In broad daylight, cars were being caught on fire. Houses were being caught on fire on this one block. And that's where the Lord would bring my family to. But I put here that we had success at 15th place coming to this city, because Jesus was the center of our home. No matter though we were in the hood, in a very dangerous alley, Jesus was the center of our home. 15th place was the foundation of all that we have today. It came from the hood. It didn't come from the suburb. It came from putting our hands to the plow. It didn't come through great finances. It came through car washes, passing out flyers, depending on Jesus for everything, even what we ate. We had success on 15th place coming to this city the year 2003. Even though it was a notorious alley, a dangerous alley. Me, my wife, and young children came to this city to an alley. And we trusted in Jesus. We would pray it up at the top of our lungs every morning, every lunchtime, and every evening. I hate to put this part in, but we started off with girls praying loud with me upstairs. Women calling upon the name of Jesus. I can share so many heavy experiences. I mean, one, it was a muggy summer day. It was hot and muggy. It was humid. We were in the attic floor at the top. It was hot. Tell your neighbor, it was hot. You see, but what happens to me when I get to sweating, I start getting off when I start sweating. Right? When the sweat gets in my eyes and it starts blinding me, I started getting really into prayer. And I don't know what I was praying. I said, God, do whatever you want to do. Do something out of the normal. Do something supernatural. And I'm yelling as loud as I can. Get our attention. Let us know that you're with us. As God is my witness, we had the windows all up. It was hot. And hail, the size of big marbles, hail started rocking the house, coming into the prayer room and everything. True story. So many things took place in that alley the first week. People getting shot, me laying hands, leading guys to the Lord, gargling blood and then going out. The ambulance never coming because the Lion Kings were making three hits at the same time. 2003, true story. We wonder why the ambulance never came. They had made three hits at the same time. And I remember seeing these guys carry these three little young kids that would sit right next to our house on the porch right there. Guy came up with the big old clip and just opened up and shot these guys so many times. I remember laying hands on them while they were still talking to me, saying the Lord's Prayer and then gargling blood and then going out. 15, 20 minutes later, their own parents would come out of the house wondering if the gunner was still around. We had success on 15th place. Even through the natural eye that it looked like the worst place to be, for us, it was the right place. It was the right home because Jesus was the center of the home. He was our provider for everything we got, down to car wash buckets and dollar soap. He was our provider. We had success on 25th and National. When we moved to 25th and National, all the house across the street, the apartments next, everybody was sling crack. There was all kinds of prostitutes around, pay phones. And with us being there so long, once again, we had success because Jesus was in the center of our homes. And before you know it, all the houses were getting green boarded, busted. Prostitutes were kind of moving to another spot on Lincoln, though they're still there. It wasn't like before. We had success on 25th and National because Jesus, once again, was the center of the home. And I put here in my notes this morning, and we too will have success here on 61st and National because Jesus is still the center of our homes. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning. My question here this morning, is Jesus the center of your home? Or are you just a proclaiming Christian, not exercising and applying His Word? The book of John, I put here also, success came by Jesus being the center of our homes, not the type or the location or the cost of our home. Because if you look at that one, it was a hood homes we lived in, amen? It wasn't the certain type or the location we were at. Because the type and location we're at, there should have been no success. We should have been like all the neighboring homes in the neighborhood. But Jesus was in the center of our home. John chapter 14, 1 and 3, verses 1 through 3. There's good news here this morning. The Bible reads, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." We need to know here this day that one day soon, by the coming of the Lord, amen, or we pass away, that the Lord is not only concerned in being the center of our homes, no matter where we may live. You might live smack in the south side, smack in the middle of the north side, in the beehive. I want to let you know that you can have success if you allow Jesus to be the center of your home. Jesus is not only concerned with our earthly home, our homes here on earth, but He's so concerned about the home that the Bible says that He goes before us and prepares a place for us. Jesus is so concerned about the homes. He's so concerned about where we're going to spend eternity. I was speaking this morning to the leaders that sometimes I wish the Lord could just force us to love Him, force us to do what is right. instead of giving us the freedom of choice. Because sometimes it's easy to take for granted the love of Jesus and what we're going to do to satisfy our desires that are not of the Lord. Always being in His presence. That's what the Lord has awaiting us. In heaven, He's going to prepare a place for us. Just as He was concerned for where His mother was going to live, He's concerned where we live today and where we're going to spend the rest of eternity. But where we spend the rest of eternity relies on the condition of our home today. You don't have to have money to put Jesus in the center of your home. You don't have to have education to put Jesus in the center of your home. You don't have to have a perfect track record to put Jesus in the center of your home. Remember, the church is really who we are within our homes. Jesus always gave great attention to the home. I thank the Lord that my home is God's home. So anytime He wants to move in my life, my wife's life, any one of my son's life, my daughter's life, He's able to do it. Because He abides not only in my life, but He abides in my home. We need Jesus as the center of our homes. Too many times we put the importance on our job. Everything's got to be right at the job because we get fired, but everything can be wrong in the house. Ain't nobody going to fire us. What is more important? And what's more important, what's taking place in the home or the job? The home is the foundation. Jesus, I put here, always gave great attention to the home. We're going to hit a good 4 or 5 verses now, amen? The book of John 11, 33 and 35, dealing with the home of Lazarus. I'm not going to preach on these subjects, amen? I could stop and preach on any one of these. But in verse 33 of the book of John, chapter 11, the Bible reads, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid Him? Lazarus is already dead. I'm just pulling a few verses out. Where have you laid Him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus wept. He was troubled of what was taking place in the home of Martha, Mary, there of Lazarus. They were His friends. And He was deeply troubled because they were deeply troubled in their home. And if you read the story, it said, if you would have been here, He would have never died. But here it shows the concern of Jesus for the home of Lazarus and for the life of Lazarus. We know that He resurrected him from the dead. Amen? Jesus was needed at the home of Lazarus. He resurrected him from the dead. Any attack, any strike of the enemy will always be less than death. Here it was important that Jesus reached the house of Lazarus. And I believe it's very important that Jesus is allowed in our homes. Just because there's a Bible up on the shelf somewhere in your home that hasn't been touched forever, don't mean that Jesus is in your home. That's religious. A Bible parked in your house does not change your life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, speaking about the wise and foolish home builders, speaking about the home once again. The Bible reads, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them," tell your neighbor, "into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Jesus, we know, was the rock of that house. And even though the winds and the storms and the waters, everything came crashing upon that house stood because Jesus was the foundation of that home. But the flip side is in verse 26. The Bible reads, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them to practice," does not put Jesus at the center of their home, "is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." Same thing took place. The only difference was the foundation. "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash." Too many houses falling. Too many houses falling within the inner city, within the suburb. When they shouldn't be falling, but they're being built on sand. The home ain't what it used to be anymore. Everybody's more concerned about the workplace, getting the bills paid. And we forget about the true importance of the foundation of our home. Here Jesus shows the importance of every home's foundation. That it is important that the foundation of our homes be Jesus. Being put into practice, not just knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus does not bring a foundation to your home, does not bring a spiritual covering to your home. Applying the words of Jesus brings that covering to your home. The importance that Jesus and the attention that Jesus gave the homes. Luke chapter 15, 17 through 20. The prodigal son. The Bible reads, once again, I'm just pulling a few verses out of the story of the prodigal son. "When he came to his senses, he said," this is the prodigal son that took his possessions, he left, amen, and did a lot of squandering of everything that he had own that had been given to him by his father. He left his home, amen. And the Bible reads, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death.'" How many of you guys know when you were out there and you were starving to death, you had the choice to eat a good meal or to get high? How many went after the good meal? Raise your hands. Not me. I went for what the enemy had to offer. That was my food. That was my manna. The Bible reads, "I will set out and go back to my father." I want to paraphrase, my father's house. where all the provision was there. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. Amen. He said, that is, he got up and he went. And as he was going to his father, the Bible reads, but while he was still a long way off, he was headed in the right direction. He was doing the right thing. But the Bible says he was still a long way off. His father saw him and was filled. It was like his father was looking from a distance every day for the return of his son. I believe his father was up on a hill, and he would wait, and every day he would look for his son to return. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How Jesus, this story shows how Jesus placed him back within the family. How he was forgiven. With the compassion of the Father. I always say that when I was young and bucking and kicking and thought I knew everything, I ran away from home. I was bad. I didn't get kicked out of my house. I ran away from home. See, the majority of you got kicked out of your house. They said, you got to go. But I went and did my prodigal living. I was only 15, 16, and I was getting into all the clubs. I was with college people, hanging out with college, at the fraternity parties. I was a college people. I was a young little kid. And these big old clubs, amen, thinking I was Scarface slash a player and all that stuff. Long hair, big old mustache. Clubbing every night. And I remember one day I was in the club just hanging out, all stoned, just hanging out. Rock and roll music was jumping off, and it was just another night in the club, amen. The lights were all like pretty much what we got here, and the music was banging loud, and I was stoned. I was just posted up with guys that were twice my age, hanging out with women twice my age. And I was stoned, right? I was real stoned, man. And I was in the club, right? I was stoned, right? And then I started going like, man, that looks like my dad. He got closer and closer. I said, man, that is my dad. What is he doing here? All those guys I was hanging out with, the girls, they all knew my dad. He was the principal of the high school. And the love of my father would come into a club. The principal of the high school would humble himself. And he came up to me. He got himself a beer and he put it on the table. He says, come on, you're getting in the car with me right now. I was only like 15. I was young, man. And he was looking at, it wasn't that I was sad and wanted to go back home. I was having a good time. I was stoned. He says, real smooth, I want you to get off this table with me and follow me to the car. We're going home. I said, I ain't going home, Dad. I don't need to go home. I'm fine where I'm at. And I remember my dad having to get up, thinking he was going to drive away with his son in the car, just to leave me all stoned and catching a beer buzz as the night was going on, having to leave his son within a darkened rock and roll atmosphere. So long after that, I was mooching off these guys long enough. I would bring the pot, but then again, they started getting old, man. Mr. Raina's kid's still here living with us, man. Is he ever going to leave? I was only 15. These guys were 25, 27 years old. They were my older brother's friends. One day, it just kind of ran out, and I went home. My dad took me back in, but I didn't change my lifestyle. But he would rather have me at home messed up than all messed up, not knowing where I was at, right? The prodigal son, how the compassion and love of Jesus placed him back within the family. See, for my true family is you guys. My true spiritual father is Pastor Herb, and my true spiritual mother is Sister Margot. They're the ones that developed me into a spiritual man. They allowed me to grow up for the first time in my life, not just getting older, but growing in the things of the Lord. They taught me how to put Jesus at the center of my life. And through the course of the years, the Lord would use me for my mom and dad in their dying days as they passed away, and selling of the home and taking care of all the financial business. Can you imagine? But my dad accepted me back. He was an alcoholic, a functioning alcoholic. He understood addiction in the alcohol sense. He took me back like I never broke a plate in my life. My mother, on the other hand, was mad that he went and allowed me back in the house. My mother was done with me. My dad was déjalo que entra, let him in. My dad never gave up on me. He never gave up on me. I drove my mom nuts a second away from having a nervous breakdown, stealing the house, robbing the house, and doing all these things. But through all that, my dad never gave up on me. He continued to love me. As I pray in the office, I got a picture of my dad, you know, and he's looking at me. I wish I could use the word he would use, but it's like a slash cuss word. I mean, it starts with C in Spanish, and it ends Ron. It ends Ka. At the end, it's Ron. Amen? Figure it out. He would always call me that. Oh, yeah. Ka. ¿Qué traes, hombre? ¿Tú eres bien, ca? Ron. He would always call me that. I was accepted back into the family. But this time, my family didn't want me. Into the family of Christ, into the body of Christ, to the grace and mercy of Jesus. Through the grace and mercy of Jesus. I've been in the family ever since, 18 years and counting. Revelation, another story, Revelation 3:20. Speaking about the home. Bible says, here I am, Jesus speaking, amen. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Usually when we knock, we're usually knocking at a door, but if you were like I was, we're knocking on windows, we're knocking all over the place. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice. Oh, how I heard the voice of the Lord so clearly while I was in the prison system the last year. Oh, how I heard it so clear. Oh, how I felt the knocking in my heart when the Lord was knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He don't say nothing like, if you're perfect, I'll come in. If once you get your life together, your act together, I'll come in. No, he says, if anyone hears my voice, not if anybody's perfect, but if anybody hears my voice. That's an invitation. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That represents to me the home. Eating, dining with the Lord. In this passage, the human heart is compared to the home that Jesus wants to abide in. And he's knocking right now, saying, let me into your home. Let me into your heart. Let me into your life. And he knocks. He could kick the door down if he wanted to. He could say, ready or not, here I come. I've given you enough time. What's wrong with you? Using the word my dad would call me. But he knocks. You know, when I hear a knocking, I said a long time ago, it was me at the Connections, man. Spent thousands. Then these guys don't want to open up the door. You bumped your head. You're going to open up that door. I would stay like this, just knocking on the door. They live in an apartment complex. People, by the, you know, by 10 minutes of knocking, people are looking out windows now. Either you come in this door or the cops are going to be here pretty soon, man. You're going to serve me. And I would knock. And some of them were just hard-headed dope dealers, amen? I ain't giving him nothing. Oh, yeah? 30 minutes, 1 hour. You were going to open up the door and serve me. But here we got the connection. Jesus knocking. The connection in Jesus knocking. The connection never came knocking. I came knocking to his door. But here this day, the servant of Jesus comes knocking at your heart. Are you going to let me in? Are you going to let me in or not? I want to abide in your life. I want to abide in your home, your marriage, the lives of your children. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Whatever you're going through this day is not great enough to prevent Jesus from coming into your life, saving your life, putting the fire back into your life. Whatever you need, all you need to do is humble yourself, open your heart to Jesus to come in. But too many times we say, no, I'm not going to answer the door. So what if it's Jesus? He should have came knocking a long time ago. Why does he come knocking now? Again and again. Through Scripture, we see Jesus giving attention to the home. I'll give you another one, Matthew chapter 19, 13 and 14. The Bible reads, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. That means to me, between the lines, these children were probably troubled and needed help. Amen? There were children being brought to Jesus. There was a need there within the lives of these children. There was a need, I believe, in the lives of these parents. I believe there was a need in the lives of this home. They said that they would bring, that then little children were brought to Jesus. Somebody was bringing these little children to Jesus. I believe there were the parents. I believe the children needed Jesus. I believe the parents needed Jesus. And then if you know the story, the Bible says that the disciples were trying to get these little kids out of here. This is Jesus. Or a place to lay hands and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus says, let the little children come to me And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Here Jesus saw, I believe, really the need of the parents, the faith of the parents bringing these children because of the condition of the home was without Jesus, so they had to bring them to Jesus. I'm getting ready to close. I have a story. A true story. So many years ago, near the Royal English Home, were a few homes for the poor and elderly people. A missionary visiting some of the elderly people asked, "Does Queen Victoria ever come and visit you?" "Oh, yes," was the answer. "She frequently comes to see us." The missionary, wondering if the woman was a Christian, the missionary inquired, "What about the King of Kings?" And the lady immediately smiled and replied, "No, sir, he doesn't visit here. He lives here." That's why we're so richly blessed. I have a point here this beautiful morning. If you can claim Jesus lives in your heart, you should be able to claim that he lives in your home. A lot of people say, "Got Jesus in my heart. Oh, Pastor, I'm blessed. I got Jesus in my heart." But he's nowhere to be found in your home. If we can claim that we have Jesus in our heart, we should be able to claim that he lives in our homes. What started the work here? It was a rehab. It was a rehab home. Those three pastors before me, none of them could get a rehab going, or they did, it would fall, or whatever took place. But I didn't even know where the first three was. I didn't know 16th was after 15th place. I didn't know nothing up to this city. I didn't know where one store was or nothing. So I finally hooked me an alcoholic, and he was my point dog. He would take me to all the spots, all the bushes and everything. We were going under bushes, and that's the way we started the rehab. God was the center of the home back then. In National, the home is still there. It's filled with men today, 3 or 4 women in the home. And today, amen, because the home does work and is able to change people's lives. And it's what makes us different from all the other churches. We not only go and pray for people, but we have a place to bring people back to, where they can get their life in order. For they can come to a home where Jesus is the center. It may not be their home, but the home belongs to Jesus, and he is the center of the home. And here this day, we're going to celebrate. Are you ready? I'm going to have to kill a little time now.